Good morning, church.
Morning.
Oh, that's a lovely welcome.
Morning, Dave.
Morning. Good morning to everyone here. Good morning to everyone online.
Great to see so many people here. Hello. If it's your first time to church, a big warm welcome. If it's your 1,000th time to church, a big warm welcome. It's good to see everyone. I'm going to I want to read. If you bear with me. Just going to a quick piece of scripture from the Message Bible. It's not my normal version to go to, but I just love it sometimes. It just really does describe things really well. So this is Psalm 105. Starts off with, "Hallelujah, thank God, pray to him by name. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Sing him songs, belt out hymns, translate his wonders into music. Honour his holy name with hallelujahs, you who seek God. Live a happy life. Keep your eyes..." Sorry, my phone's just locked itself. Here we are. "Keep your eyes open for God. Watch out for his works. Be alert for signs of his presence. And remember the world of wonders he has made, his miracles and the verdicts he's rendered. O seed of Abraham, his servant. O child of Jacob, his chosen." So let me just encourage you today, church. Let's just... obviously, in our daily lives, speak of the wonders which he has done. But let's just belt out hymns, yeah? Let's lift up those words. Let's lift up our thanks to the Lord this morning. So if you are able to, do please stand with me. Let's just join all together and just worship the Lord this morning.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in that desert place, the walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. Yes, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your claim. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your glorious name. Let's sing that again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Lord, in the good times and the bad times, Lord, we just lift you up, Lord. And we thank you, God, for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, band. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I'm Nick. I'm one of the ministers here. It's great to have all of you guys here this morning, and a really warm welcome to you, whether you're here for the first time or the 5,000th time. You are really welcome in this place, and for you guys online as well, you're really welcome here. So a few things to share with you all this morning. The first of those is that we have our fortnightly prayer meeting tomorrow evening. So that's 7:45 over Zoom. Hopefully, if you get the weekly email, you should have had the link sent out to you. If you haven't had that, or you really need that link, then just let us know. It'd be great to have as many people joining in with that. And I'm sure we will be really praying into the Christmas festivities that are taking place over the course of the next few weeks, particularly the things going on with the church. We'll be praying into those things and anything that are really on our hearts at the moment for ourselves or for others too. So that's 7:45 tomorrow evening on Zoom. Another notice for you that some of you will be aware of is that so we used to have a CAP debt centre in Bognor. So that's Christians Against Poverty, where they do a lot of work with individuals who are really struggling with their finances and are really needing support with that. They're a really brilliant organisation all over the country, and what they do, they will normally connect with a church, and then there will be a debt centre manager who will support those people. So that used to be run through Bognor Vineyard, but that did come to an end about 2 years ago, a year, 2 years ago. But we're really excited to share that that is starting up again from tomorrow, and it's now a multi-church partnership where there's six different churches in Bognor that have clubbed together, joined in, and are all supporting and making this project happen. And the Shore Community Church is one of those churches that is enabling that. So Liddy Blunden, who used to be the debt centre manager for it previously, she's resuming her role. She's starting from tomorrow. She'll be working out of St Wilfrid's down the road. But it's a really valuable partnership. I mean, to have six churches come together on that as well and work together to really support some of the real physical needs in this community is just really valuable. So it's really good that this church is supporting that. We kind of see that as part of our role in the Haven, in supporting people in their well-being, in their emotional, physical, social, spiritual well-being. So yes, that is starting again tomorrow. There'll be a proper official launch in January, and it will be really good for us to build our partnership with that as well. They're really in need of what they call befrienders, where basically those people who get supported by the debt centre for ongoing support for them, for people to get alongside them and journey with them, and they're called befrienders. So if anyone is interested in that at all, please do have a chat with me or have a chat with Sandy, and we can talk with you about that more. Also, this Thursday we have Coffee Plus, and that is going to be opening from 10 o'clock as a warm space, so you're welcome to come along from 10. And then from 10:30, there will be coffee, cake, mince pies, I believe, at 10:30. So that's Thursday morning in the cafe space. And there will be carols as well. It's going to be a really Christmas-themed time. It's going to be a brilliant time. It's set for the speaker. It's some guy called Nick. Don't know who that is. So a bit of a minor point on that. But you can come for the cake, you can come for the coffee. But it will be just a really good event to see off Coffee Plus for the year. See off that. That sounds a bit... to bring it to a close for 2022. Maybe with me speaking, I will see it off. But yes, that's Thursday morning in the cafe space. Everyone is welcome to come along to that. It will be a really good time to have. And then further notice about the other Christmas events that are taking place over the next few weeks. So James put together some brilliant flyers that are all over the cafe space. There's some in the foyer as well if you want to take a few to share with your neighbours, with your friends. And that's got the breakdown of the different events that are taking place. So this year we are following the theme of Follow the Star, discovering God through Christmas. So we're going to be kind of jumping around that theme. Jamie is going to be kicking us off with that this morning when he preaches. But a few different things that will be taking place. Firstly, this coming Sunday, so Sunday the 11th of December, there's going to be a carol celebration and community procession. So that's going to be starting at 6 o'clock. Hopefully over by the pier. There's potential different stages depending on the weather. So all the details are in the email, but do check out this as well. It would be great to have as many people come along to that. It's really accessible. So do invite your friends, invite your family, your neighbours along to that. And there's going to be a service that will take place here at 6:30 as well. There's going to be lots of dressing up. We're encouraging people to dress up as the different Christmas characters. As many magi as we can get would be brilliant. We always seem to think there's just three because they brought three gifts, but they could have been really heavy and there could have been lots of them carrying those three gifts. So it would be brilliant to have as many people as possible to that. It's going to be really accessible for the kids as well. There's going to be kids' activities after the service. There's going to be mulled wine. There's going to be mince pies. So please do check this out for more details as well. And then on Thursday, the 15th of December, we are going to have our Harry Baker Christmas special. So it's going to be a night of poetry and song. So Harry Baker is going to be doing the poetry, and local singer Sophia Mitchell, who grew up in this church, who's an amazing singer, she's going to be kicking off the night as well. It's going to be a really good evening with lots of great food and drink and just a really good atmosphere, really accessible to invite friends and neighbours along to as well. So it's £10 a ticket to book in for that. But if anyone struggles with finances, please do have a chat after the service. I'll be over at a table in the cafe. We want as many people to be able to come along to it, so please don't let finances be a barrier. But for some of you, you might have still been wondering what this Harry Baker guy is all about. What does it mean to actually perform poetry? What does that look like? Is it really boring? Well, we're going to have a little video of Harry now.
Hi, my name is Harry Baker. I am a poet and I also have a maths degree. For a long time, I thought they were very separate things, but they have refused to leave me alone. And my new show is celebrating the connections between the two. And this is an excerpt from a poem that goes through the universe and also the alphabet at the same time. Take Adam. Adam was added up out of atoms. Before that, it was black and barren. Then it became big and banging. Out of the chaos came countless crazy complex patterns. And then dun, 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 dinosaurs happen. Through evolution, everything's edited every day. That's how we fine-tune, finesse, and then finally find our way. Just as the galaxies have gotten to gear, the game changed because hip, hip, hooray, Homo sapiens came. And we invent, imagine, inspire, and innovate. We journeyed from jamming in caves to jamming jam in a cake. That knack for knowledge knitted and knotted away like silent cage. We learn the language of living, often a little late. We make music. We maneuver mathematical methods. We've noticed and noted the nodes of our own neural networks overflowing, outpouring, open mics to operatics. We're the pork percentage purported in pepperami packets. We question. from quick quizzes to quantum quarks, revolutions of the heart to renaissances of art you see, scriptures and science seek signs of the sublime, meanwhile through trees trickles the entirety of time. Our universe is unfinished, but utterly underway. Its vibrancy vibrates via ventricles, valves, and veins. You see, we wonder and we wonder. We explore and we explain. We yearn for what is yonder as we zoom out into space. Because when we zoom out, we realize how small it becomes. So either none of it matters, or all of it does. Thank you so much. Hopefully I can see you at a gig somewhere soon. It's going to be out of this world. I'm sorry. I love you. Please still come to the gig. Thank you. Bye.
So that's a little flavour of, he's just like that in general. And he's also a Christian, but he doesn't kind of put that out really clearly in his gigs. But actually, you can kind of see throughout all that he shares that actually those Christian values permeate through it. So it's just a really good, fun evening to have. So please do book in for that if you haven't already. It would be great to have as many people book in as soon as possible so we can have a good idea for numbers as well, so that we can get the food and we can get the drinks in and lay this out as well. So yes, that's Thursday the 15th. Doors open at 7 p.m. Also on the 22nd, which is a Thursday, apparently, on Thursday the 22nd of December at 6:30, we have our contemplative candlelight service. So that is kind of a bridge between the blue service that we've had for the last couple of years and also the midnight Christmas Eve service as well. So it's kind of encapsulating both of those. For those of us who we would really appreciate some space, we might find Christmas a bit overwhelming, or those who just value the more contemplative side of our faith and of Christmas as well. It's going to be a really good service to have that, where we can just take stock, where we can reflect a little bit further, and that we can come together under that as well. So that is Thursday the 22nd of December. And then of course on Christmas Day itself we have our family service. So that is at 10 o'clock. That will be a short service, and that will just be a really good family atmosphere. And of course on Christmas Day as well we do have our Christmas Day lunch. Lots of people have been booking in for that. We've got lots of volunteers for that now, which is just brilliant. So please do let people know who might otherwise be on their own at Christmas, who would just really appreciate coming along and having that Christmas lunch together. And finally, on the note of those Christmas services, it would be great to have some donations of mince pies. We've had a few coming in. This is for the carol service next Sunday. So it would be great to have as many mince pies as possible. Anything that's left over, we'll be using for other services as well and for the Christmas Day lunch. So it would be great to have donations for that. I'm just going to invite Jamie up now as we have our Advent candle.
Hello. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers to help me with the Advent. Oh, Hope, straight hand up straight away. Any other volunteers? Yeah, come on, Hope. What, another volunteer? Yeah, really, really enthusiastic volunteer. Mum's dragging the hand up. Yeah, come on up if you'd like to. Now, last week, we had you, Nick taking care of this process. He brings youth. You remember we had some problems with the matches. I, on the other hand, bring experience. Oh! That was almost a spectacular backfire, wasn't it? Yeah, come on up, Hope. So, now, one of you can do the first candle, relight the first candle from last week, which was, anyone remember? Hope! Hey, typecasting. Hope, do you want to do Hope? There we are. Whichever one you like. No, one at the front, how about that? There you go. Now, she went fire as she did that. Mum, just be a bit worried about this, okay. Now, so any idea what the second candle is?
No.
Anyone have got any second idea where the candle is? Second candle, sorry. Ooh. I had to Google it this morning. And then I found out there are about three different ideas of what the second candle is, so I asked Nick. Nick said it's peace. Everyone happy with peace? Fantastic. It's a brilliant way to symbolise heaven and earth coming together, making peace. Come on then, let's light the second one. Fantastic. Very controlled. Awesome. Look at that. Fantastic. Give a big round of applause to my volunteers. Wonderful. Now, Nick, you can lead us in communion now. Should we do the offering first? Okay, we'll do the offering. Okay, we're going to pass around the offering. But see, we're well organised. Sue White is back amongst us. Say hi, Sue. You'll be pleased to know it's as slick, finely honed machine as ever it was. What's next? Oh, yeah, the offering. Okay, can we have a couple of volunteers to hand round the baskets? Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Joe. Maybe one more? One more volunteer for the basket? Going. Thanks, Julie. Brilliant. So this is our offering. Please don't feel obliged to put anything in the basket, but if you're part of the fellowship here, if this is part of your worship and your discipleship, then please do think about supporting the church financially in whatever ways you can, with your skills, your talents, your times. There's lots of ways to give by all the methods on the screen behind me. And I'm going to hand over to Nick now as he prepares us for communion.
Thank you. So yeah, we're going to be moving into a time of communion now. So communion might feel like a little bit strange to have that during the season of Advent. We are just talking about the birth of Jesus, whereas communion is about the death of Jesus. And it's kind of like, well, that's a bit of jumping around there, isn't it? Or we want to focus on the birth, not the death. But actually, there's some real value in having both of those together, where we are celebrating the incarnation of God in human form, coming down to earth and dwelling amongst us. And there's something beautiful about that, of course. But then also where we talk about Jesus' death on the cross, and we can see that bigger narrative, that bigger story as well. Because this story here is part of the story of the incarnation too. They are all together as well, and you cannot separate the two either, because actually both of them give so much more weight to the other. Because through talking about the incarnation, talking about the birth of Jesus, we actually then remember that God knew that Jesus would die, that Jesus would die on the cross, and yet he still chose to come to earth and dwell amongst us and show us his love. And then with Jesus' death on the cross, to actually know that he came and dwelt amongst us, that he chose to do that, just brings so much more power and meaning to that as well. So the two are completely inseparable. But now we focus on this table, or these tables, because Jesus was also 2,000 years ago at a table with his closest friends, with his disciples. At that table, they shared a meal together. And then Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This bread is a symbol of remembrance. It is my body broken for you. And when you eat this bread, remember me." And in the same way, Jesus took the wine and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Drink this and remember me." And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. We're going to come up. We can come up just on our own, or we can come up in family groups, or we can come up in friendship groups. It's good to be able to share together if we can. And we're going to be sharing around these tables. And as we share together, just to remember what Jesus did for us, what Jesus did through coming to earth and dwelling amongst us, what Jesus did through sharing with us, through sharing so many different stories, through miracles, through living the life here with us. And through Jesus' death on the cross, that reminder that actually nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we'll remember that together as we share in a time of communion. So I invite you guys to come up. There is gluten-free bread just here as well. And if anybody is in need of anything taken over to them, please do give us a wave and we'll bring that over to you. But please do come up when you'd like to and share in this together.
As Nick said, if anyone would like communion elements brought over to them, just do wave your hand and we'll bring it over. We're going to let our kids go out now and get on with their Sunday morning program. Hopefully it'll be lots of fun and you'll really enjoy yourselves. Lord, we just thank you for our kids, for our young people. Lord, we thank for those who will be caring for them and teaching them this morning. We bless them, Lord. Pray that they would be inspired by your presence, Lord, and lifted up by your love. In the name of Christ, amen. And over to Dave to lead us a bit more worship.
You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to only. To the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour our praise to you. Oh, it's your breath, so we pour our praise, pour our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour our praise to you, holy. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Lord, you are Lord. Lord, you are great. You are good. We pour our praise to you, Lord. Spirit of the living God, minister to us as we stand in your presence. Stories of what you think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Come on, church. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, yes, you are, Lord. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To so undeniable, I hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love.
As you call me.
As you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love.
Come on, every single voice now.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And loved by you.
It's who I am.
It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being our Father. We just lift up this to you, Lord, for you are good. You're beautiful in all of your ways. Praise be to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, musicians, singers, tech team, folks serving us tea and coffee. It's good to be family together, isn't it? We've just been, it's good to be family together, isn't it?
Yes.
Whew. I was worried then. Well, you know. We're starting a new series today. This series actually dovetails, I think, really nicely with the series we've just come to a close with, which was all about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, is becoming the fellowship, the making of the fellowship. And I think this one kind of links with it really well. It's called, as Nick was sharing earlier, Follow the Star. And it's all about discovering God through Jesus. You might notice that in the logo there's like a star at the end of, you know, like an asterisk at the end of star. And Nick said, where does the asterisk go? Because normally if you've got an asterisk, you're sort of looking for a footnote, aren't you? And I said, yeah, that's the point. You see, you see the star and then you're looking, you're searching. You see what I've done there? You're searching for something. Yeah, is that a bit meta or is that... I said, is that clever or is that just me being one of them? Anyway, this week's message is called Lift Up Your Eyes. And it kind of sets up what this is all about. And if there was a kind of a verse or a couple of verses to underpin this whole series, I think we find them in Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. But we are particularly, the focus of this series, as you've probably guessed, is going to be the Magi. It's going to be the wise men, the three kings, whatever you call them, these characters that we read about principally in Matthew 2, and I'm just going to share the first couple of verses today. Very famous verses, you'll hear them at Christmas all the time, but we read them again. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Just those two verses, just want to focus in on them today. Right at the beginning of Luke, so we have the nativity story in its classic form in Luke's gospel and in Matthew's gospel. And in Luke's gospel, right at the beginning, in Jesus's birth story, we have the story of these outsiders, these shepherds who are right at the beginning, you know, chapter 2 included in the Jesus story, the Jesus good news, the Jesus revolution. They are included. These, because shepherds, because of the things that shepherds have to do, I'm not going to go into details, but you've seen like James Herriot and all that, you know what? You've seen Countryfile and, you know, Springwatch and all that. You know what shepherds have to do. Because of that sort of icky stuff, they were deemed to be ritually unclean. So shepherds were seen as people who were like permanently kind of unclean, which meant kind of to the kind of religious, you know, high and mighty sort, they were sort of looked down on rather. So for shepherds, these so-called unclean folk, despite, you know, shepherds being such a major part of Israel's history, think of David, et cetera, et cetera. For these outsiders at that time to be included was quite a revolutionary thing. They are invited to come and worship. They are the first people that the angels declare this good news to. But in Matthew's account, that's Luke's account, in Matthew's account, we get an even more outrageous story, an even more surprising and shocking story. We've got these characters, and like Nick said, we don't know that there were three of them, but there are these characters now in you might have grown up at school calling them the three kings or the three wise men. The actual Greek word is magi. So often we'll talk about the magi. That's a word that we often use. They are magi, and no prizes for guessing. A magi is a magician. They are an astrologer. They were priests of Zoroaster, Zoroastrian priests. These people, can you think of anyone who more outside of Israel's story being invited to be right front and center of Israel's story? This is what I mean. It's shocking. It's surprising. These people, for a living, they were astrologers. They studied the stars. They were diviners. They did something for a living that the Old Testament said was an absolute abomination. This is something you must not do. On pain of death, you must not be a diviner. You must not practice divination, it says in the Old Testament. This is what these guys did. They were astrologers. They were, you know, people that did that sort of thing, magicians. They sought secret knowledge. They saw his star. Now, perhaps you're used to like the old King James version, is they saw his star in the east. But a better translation of that is at its rising. That's why it's, hang on, if the star's in the east and they follow the star, they should end up in China. Everyone being confused by that? But they end up in, no, it's an idiomatic way of saying at its rising. So they saw his star when it rose, and they made their way. And of course, that just invites us, because we're modern people with a kind of scientific, technological way of thinking, we want to understand this star. You know, is it kind of like a comet? Is it a supernova? Or is it some sort of spiritual phenomenon, an angel or something like that? Because that's the way our brains work. We want to work out the mystery. We sort of think in sort of sciencey terms. We want the answer to the question. And certainly these magi, they interpreted this sign, this thing they saw in the sky, whatever it was, they saw something and they interpreted it not simply as a phenomenon, like, oh, interesting, that's a supernova, you know. Here's, what's Brian Cox? Brian Cox, hey, it's amazing. You know, they didn't, it's fabulous, the universe, amazing. I used to be in D-Ream. No, he doesn't, no. They didn't do that. They weren't interested simply in the phenomenological, if you can say that, phenomenological component of it. They thought this means something. This needs to be interpreted. There is meaning. There is knowledge here. And they saw that it had significance. And people speculate about exactly how they would have interpreted it. You know, we don't need to get lost in the weeds of that one. Whatever the details of this story are, whatever the historical reality of it is, first of all, I think the best reaction is just, wow. Wow. Who is included in God's story? The most, and this is why I think this series just dovetails so nicely with the previous one. Who is included? Who is part of God's story? Who does God say, yeah, we're going to include these people and these people from right over here? For those who are seeking, for those who are searching, they will find. It's amazing. But the focus of this series, particularly for me, is really looking at their motivation, the motivation of these magi, these wise men. And this is what I really want to bring out for us today and what I think is really relevant and practical for us today in Bognor Regis in 2021. These are people who were, they were studying the heavens, but you can interpret that however you like. They were looking for truth. They were looking for knowledge. They were looking for insight. They were looking for something more. They were searching. They were seeking. And then they came As we read in the beginning of Matthew, they came to worship him. They came to bring him gifts, these symbols. And these symbols are symbols of kingship. Even more than that, they are symbols of godhood. They are prepared to see in this sign something divine, something amazing, something transcendent, something beyond the normal. And in their culture, they would have been very comfortable. Maybe in our culture, you know, maybe several decades ago, but certainly much more in their culture, they were very happy with God language. You know, the use of the term God and gods and these sorts of things, they were everywhere. If you'd have walked through, you know, a first century town in, you know, the Greco-Roman world, you'd have seen temples and icons and statues and, you know, everywhere. They were very happy and very comfortable with God language. And you hear about God seekers in the rest of the New Testament. Remember the story of Cornelius that we went into in our Acts series back at the beginning of the summer. God seekers, people who are looking for God, who are searching, who wouldn't necessarily be seen as being part of the people of Israel, but they're searching for God. You know, Paul in Athens in Acts 17, he starts off that speech by saying, "I see you're very religious. You know, everywhere there's gods everywhere." This is very comfortable language to them. Now in our culture, not so much. People tend to be very suspicious of God language. In 2021 in Bognor Regis in the UK, you know, people are quite suspicious. Religion has kind of changed its position within society. People are slightly antagonistic towards religion even. Certainly suspicious. Certainly, you know, religion in and of itself doesn't have a very good name. If someone says, "Oh, that person is religious," are they saying they're a really great person? They might be just commenting on the fact that someone goes to church or whatever it might be. But generally, religion and being religious is not something that is lifted up and admired by the culture. So as I say, we might not be so comfortable in our culture with God language and talking about God. But very much in our culture is a sense of people seeking for something more. Something other, something beyond, something higher, a higher truth, a higher purpose, meaning, connection, something beyond, something sacred, something true, something transcendent, something divine. That search, whatever language people feel able to give it, and it might be very vague language, but there is that sense of a search for something more. But as Christians, as church people, you know, how do we feel about that kind of language? You know, I'm just searching for something more. You know, I'm a truth seeker. I'm going to go take a year out, take a gap year, go and, you know, do something far out, man. You know, how do we feel about that kind of language in our, as Christians, with our kind of evangelistic imagination? Does the idea of just looking for God, in quotes, feel a bit, I don't know, a bit woolly, a bit abstract, a bit nothingy? You know, "Hey, I believe in God." You know, have you ever spoken to someone, say, "You know, I'm a Christian, I go to church." "Oh yeah, well, you know, well, I think I believe in God," or "I believe that there is a higher power." Anyone had conversations like this? Yeah, three of us, that's fantastic. Oh, for the rest of us, if you ever have a conversation with someone and talk about faith, people will tend to say, "Oh yeah, well, I kind of do believe in a higher power," and it all might feel just a little bit woolly, or we might feel that it's not specific enough. You're not talking about Jesus specifically. You know, you're not connecting the dots. So do we see this seeking, this kind of search for something more? As Christians, do we see it in a positive light? Or do we see it maybe in a more negative light, in a more of a kind of distraction or something like that? And I wonder if Scripture, and this morning I want to unpack whether Scripture perhaps gives us some tools to view this in a slightly different way. Just a note of caution, in what I'm saying, I am not saying, hear me now, I'm not saying that any reference to God, that's why it's got a small g, just God or, you know, higher power, I'm not saying it is all equal. I'm not saying that, you know, well, the conversation just stops there. Someone says, "Oh, well, I think I believe in God." "Oh, well, fine, okay, well, I'll carry on, end of conversation." That's not what I'm saying. In fact, that's often a very interesting part of the conversation. If you've ever had a conversation with kind of like a militant atheist or something like that, it's really interesting just to let them say, "Tell me about this God you don't believe in." And 99 times out of 100, at the end of their tirade, I can say, "Yeah, I don't believe in that God either." you know, tell me about the God you don't believe in, because I probably don't believe in that God either. I believe in something else. So the idea of God can mean many, many things, and we do need to unpack that and carry on the conversation. However, I think Jesus gives us a really interesting insight into his relationship with the Father in John 17. And this is my main verse for today that I really want to unpack. It should appear on the screen, or you can read along in your Bible. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." I just want you to note that in that, and you know, as I said in the last series, John's gospel is that gospel that you read it and you go, yeah, what did that mean? Let's go back, let's read it again. John has a very sort of poetic way of expressing things, and sometimes you do need to kind of really sort of just enter into it. I was about to say kind of unpack it. I don't think it even benefits from being unpacked logically. It's more like entering into this kind of poetic journey where somehow the Holy Spirit uses these beautiful words to reveal truth to us. But the thing I really want you to notice, as my diagram here suggests, is the flow of glory in both directions. The Son glorifies the Father, of course, and the Father glorifies the Son. It's mutual. It's not about one-way traffic. It's about two-way traffic. The flow of glory is from the Son to the Father and from the Father to the Son. And this is kind of important because it's foundational to Christianity. If you've not heard this before, I'm really sorry. Listen now. It's really, really important to Christianity that Jesus reveals God. If you want to know what, because again, back to what I was saying before, God with a small g, what are we talking about? If you want to know what we're talking about when we're talking about God, look at Jesus. Jesus shows us who God is. That's absolutely foundational to Christianity. It's as we look at Jesus, we finally have those questions answered. All the anxiety, all the fear as to who this God, this higher transcendent power might be, is resolved and revealed in Jesus Christ. You look at Jesus if you want to know what God is like. You don't look at Zeus, which is often what we're doing. When you picture God and you see, like in Monty Python, you know, kind of old man, beard, white robe, on top of mountain, throwing lightning bolts, that's Zeus. That's not Jesus. Maybe that's Odin. I don't know. We have these pagan conceptions of God, and then we think Jesus is nice and God is this scary person. No, if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. Jesus shows us who God is, absolutely. But in these amazing words in John's gospel, Jesus is also showing us that God will show us who Jesus is. I will glorify you, the Son will glorify the Father, and the Father will glorify the Son. Jesus shows us who God is, and God is going to show us who Jesus is. Does that make sense? Because that's how it works. Brilliant, it came back. The flow of glory and honor is two-way. Remember the famous, "You are in me and I am in you"? Billy Connolly does a sketch about this. I'm not going to go into it. But anyway, "You are in me and I'm in you." It's that flow. You are in me. I am in you. The Father glorifies the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. They are together. They are bound up. And this is where our Trinitarian theology comes from. As we truly enter into Jesus, we discover God. So as we enter into Jesus, we discover who God is, yes. But we can also say the opposite. As we truly, underline truly, as we truly enter into God, God will show us who Jesus is. That's what these verses seem to be saying. The truly is really important. The truly is essential. I'm talking about a sincere quest, a true quest. a desire, a dedication to uncover the truth. I'm not saying, oh yeah, you know what, I believe in a higher power and the kind of my journey ends there. I'm talking about a quest. I'm talking about the sincere search for the truth. And when we're involved in a quest like that, you know, a quest that is absolutely, I'm going to leave no stone unturned. I'm going to keep looking up. I'm going to keep searching. I'm going to keep wanting to be refined and refined and refined until only the purest gold is left. It's that I'm prepared to set off with my camels and cross the desert and find out what this means. Back to our magi. It's that desire, it's that quest, it's that passion, it's that dedication, that search for God, for truth, as we lift our eyes up, as we are genuinely and with a heartfelt passion seeking the truth. Seek and you will find, God promises. This really inspires my evangelistic imagination. And imagine, because we're living in a very particular time in history. It's always the job of the church to interpret the tradition that we receive and the scriptures that we receive and interpret it for our culture. That's what missionaries always do. You interpret, don't you, Joe? You interpret for the culture that you're in. Try and make it understandable. And we're in a culture that's had, you know, almost 2,000 years of the name of Jesus Christ, being used, let's say, in a variety of ways. Some more positive than others. Can I put it like that? In fact, let's say it more stridently and more obviously. The name of Christ has been used in some really, really bad ways. The name of Christian has been claimed by people doing some despicable things. And that leaves a mark. That leaves a stain. That does something to a culture. We are in a post-Christendom time, and we've got to kind of wrestle with that, because that leaves a mark. And I just wonder, to inspire our evangelistic imagination today, I wonder if in a culture where the name of Christ has become so compromised, you know, the idea of having religion, you know, seeking, you know, it's become compromised. I wonder if God, in his infinite creativity and love, goes, oh, do you know what? Don't know, orcs, shrugs. No. God says, I can do something more. The Holy Spirit is not defeated by the apathy of our culture. The Holy Spirit is not defeated by the resistance of, or the damage done by the church over 1,500 years. The Holy Spirit is not defeated. The Holy Spirit goes, okay, we can deal with that. If God can sort sin and brokenness and fallenness out in the whole of creation, do you think God is bothered by, I don't know, some angry atheist on YouTube? No. No. I hope not. Definitely not. In a culture where the name of Jesus has been so compromised, we might see God opening up other ways to discover Jesus, because the Son glorifies the Father, absolutely. You explore Jesus, you're going to find out who God is. But if you truly are seeking God, you're going to find out who Jesus is. Of course you are. Who else are you going to discover? The story of the Magi reminds us that a heartfelt and honest search for God will lead to Jesus. They followed that star, and that's who they found. In other words, when human beings pursue the deepest truth and the highest values, they will be led to Jesus. Of course, because who else would they be led to? Is there something higher? Is there something more? Is there something greater? No. So if you keep looking, it's like climbing up a hill, isn't it? If you keep on trying to find the heights, you will eventually find the summit. And the summit is Jesus. There's only one place the journey goes. We need to have faith. We need to have trust that this is where the story goes. We can then have that confidence. One of my favorite theologians, I've mentioned him a few times, a guy called Paul Tillich, he said that faith, the dynamics of faith, are the dynamics of ultimate concern. In other words, the things that ultimately concern you, the top of the tree, the highest values, that is where what faith is all about. It's about seeking that highest thing. He was probably the best exponent in the kind of Protestant tradition of this idea. But in classic Christian thought, these highest truths have often been summed up in these three things. They're called the three transcendentals in classic Christian theology: truth, goodness, and beauty. These high transcendental values, truth, goodness, and beauty. And the idea in classic Christian thought is not that God just has truth, like God is capable of speaking truth. It's that God is truth. God is goodness. God is beauty. God is love. God is all of these things. He doesn't just have them. And therefore, we can say that all truth is God's truth. Because if God is truth and you're seeking after truth, what are you going to find? God. All truth is God's truth. All goodness is God's goodness. All beauty is God's beauty. Therefore, the idea that is that when we're seeking these things, we will ultimately be seeking God. They must lead us to God. And the idea is, when God created substitute, 12th man comes on, new teeth, freshens up the second half. Looking forward to the football tonight, everyone? Excellent. Who's going to come on? Will it be Phil Foden? Will it be Grealish? Will it be... No, I'm sorry, I'm going to get distracted. The reserve teeth are in. When God created the cosmos, thank you, he imbued this cosmos with truth and with goodness and with beauty. And because human beings are made in the image of God, we have the capacity to know the truth, to desire the good, and to love the beautiful. You see how all these things come together. But we are fallen. Of course, we're fallen, we're broken, we live in a broken world. And that disorders those natural capacities that we should have to know the truth and to desire goodness and to love the beautiful. We all want to do these things, don't we? But of course, we fall over sometimes. But my friends, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have healing. We are made whole so that the Holy Spirit can bring this healing mission that he has for the entire cosmos back onto track. So once again, we can have confidence that truth and goodness and beauty are good things to seek. They will lead us to discovering that Jesus. So coming in roughly to sort of land here, a few closing thoughts and trying to apply it to this season. And you, like I was going to say, the cultures might feel like a tough nut to crack. And I thought, of course, it's Christmas, cracking nuts. There's Christmas right there, folks. Love a walnut. The culture might feel like a tough nut to crack. Our culture might feel like it is resistant to the gospel. But in my opinion, it is a matter of translation. What story are we trying to tell? What language are we using? What ways, what images, what imagination are we unleashing to tell our story? Is it just the same old metaphors that people are kind of already slightly jaded by, and we've had 1,500 years of that, and it didn't go too well? Or are we actually using that God-given creativity to stir up something new? I think at Christmas, there is plenty of opportunity to encourage people to lift up their eyes, to look up and seek and search, to reflect, if you like, on the good and the beautiful and the true. I mean, think about every, there's a little bit of Scrooge there, think about every Christmas film that is now assaulting our media. Every Christmas story, every Christmas, well, most Christmas songs, apart from EastEnders, obviously, that's, you know, we put that to one side. But everything else about Christmas, every Christmas movie, Netflix has now just got this range of Christmas movies, and it's like, yeah, it's the same story every time, isn't it? You know, there is this dogged determination in what is generally a pretty cynical culture, let's be honest. At this time of year, there is this dogged determination to believe the best, that dreams come true in Christmas movies, not in EastEnders, yeah, put that to one side. Dreams come true. relationships are restored, aren't they, in all this media? Relationships are restored. You know, the wicked character, classic example being true, the wicked character experiences redemption and is renewed and is restored to relationship. Think of the Grinch. Think of Elf's dad in Elf, which is the greatest Christmas story ever told. And I won't hear anything to the contrary. Amen. Hallelujah. I hear that amen, sister. We want to bring one another joy and happiness. Think about the presents. Why do you buy people presents? Because you want them to be joyful. You want them to be happy. We want to focus on what is good and enjoyable. That's why we eat so much food. It's not that we're greedy. It's that we're celebrating what is good and joyful in the world. And that's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. Thank you very much. We want to make our homes and our streets beautiful. I'll be up a ladder this afternoon putting lights on our house. Great. But that's what we want to focus on, the good and the true and the beautiful, on the joyful. And kind of, brothers and sisters, this Christmas, rather than kind of looking a little bit askance at that, a little bit sideways, sometimes Christians can come across like the older brother at the feast, you know, looking, well, you know, I think you've forgotten the true meaning of Christmas. Oh, great, because everyone loves a lecture. That really helps, you know. Everyone loves to be judged, don't they? You know, oh, well, now you said that, I'm going to go to church. No, it doesn't work. I wish it did. I've forgotten the reason for the season. It's my classic for my kids, if they're kicking off, I was like, oi, remember, it's Jesus' birthday, not yours. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't stop them. There is this tendency, I think, there's a temptation to be that kind of sniffy, austere kind of person, you know. But rather than chiding people about the true meaning of Christmas, we can instead encourage people to find Jesus through Christmas, through what is already there, through what is already being celebrated, because the Holy Spirit is so much more creative than we can possibly imagine. Let's let him do his work. So finally, I want to leave you with the idea of confidence. Confidence. The scripture, Leslie Newbegin, famous missiological theologian, brilliant guy, he finishes one of his amazing books with this idea of, you know, Christians should be confident. You know, when we think about scriptures like this, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. All people, Jesus says. One of my favourites, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. It's all God's. He is in all and through all. He can do all things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit has given up on this world. I don't believe that God has given up on this world. I believe that the Holy Spirit is at work. I just want to close with these thoughts and invite Dave and the band to come back and maybe lead us in a final song of worship. And because of those things, I'm trying to train myself to recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing in all things. And I encourage you to do likewise. Encourage you to train yourself to discover and see what God is doing through the world. Not in evil things, obviously. We're not going to see what God is doing through evil things, but in the good and the beautiful and the true. Be ready and available to see God in the best of what we see. Or at least be ready to discern that which might be heading in the right direction. It might be flawed, it might be compromised, but hey, you know what? It's heading in the right direction. Rather than throwing out the baby with the bathwater, this Christmas, can we celebrate what is really good? Celebrate the good, but then encourage one another and encourage our friends, our family, our neighbours. Encourage one another to keep going. Yeah, that's really good, but let's keep pursuing the good. Let's keep pursuing the true. Let's keep pursuing the beautiful. Let's keep lifting up our eyes. Let's keep following that star, because where does it lead? If we keep seeking the truth, we can trust that the Holy Spirit has got this. The Holy Spirit will guide people to himself. So this Christmas, follow the star, lift up your eyes, seek the best. Let's go on a journey together and let's encourage our friends, our family to do the same. Let's pray. Father, Help us to lift up our eyes. We celebrate with Scripture, Lord. We lift up our eyes to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from you, Lord. God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we lift up our eyes this day and every day, this season and in all seasons. Holy Spirit, will you lead us? Will you guide us? Will you help us to be imaginative and creative and wise and discerning and obedient? And when you say come, Lord, may we follow. May we follow with confidence. May we open up our mouths to share our story, our testimony of what you have done and who you are and who we're discovering you to be, Lord. Not like the older brother at the feast trying to kind of twist people's arms, Lord, but just sharing with joy about the goodness and the truth and the beauty that we have discovered. Lord, not to manipulate, Lord, not to try and win an argument, but simply just to be your salt and your light in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
Okay, church, we're going to continue to worship now. So if you are able to, do please stand. But if you want to remain seated, that's absolutely fine. We've got going to finish on a song which we introduced last week. Again, it's very simple. You can either just listen to it or you can sing along with us. But it's very easy to pick up.
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, now I am firm forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hope, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us strength. All things. I pray, Lord, that you continue to use us and fill us by your Spirit to enable us to do your work, Lord. To enable us to be the salt and light in the community, in our friends' groups, in our workplaces. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you're doing for us and through us. We pray now, Lord, as we go about our own, in our own lives, we pray, Lord, that you just, yes, continue to use us, Lord, and bless us. And we thank you, God, for everything, all the plans that you have for every single one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.